From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. Tonight's top worry: if something happens to your apartment and you need to, like, stay in a hotel and pay for it, that would be crazy, right? Art Palpitations has more.
That would be crazy, Tammy, but you got surprisingly affordable renter's insurance through GEICO, so it could be covered, giving you peace of mind.
Aw, I love a story that ends well.
Next up, love stories. Are they all they're cracked up to be?
It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, the term United States of America wasn't coined by an American. Like so many things in life, it came from the mind of a Cork man named Stephen Moylan, who's just been commemorated with a plaque on the street where he was born. We're joined by the historian Michelle O'Mahony. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. So he was born in Cork, obviously. And when did it, what age was he when he left Ireland, and where did he go?
Okay, so Stephen Moylan was born under the shadow of the Shandon Bells on Blarney Street in 1737. He died in 1811. And as a young man, he worked with his father. His father had a butcher shop and was involved with meat and salt preservation, buying in salt from the continent to preserve the meat for the shipping industry. So they had a business on Curragh's Quay, and obviously the ships would come into the port of Cork. So, you know, he had a ready market for the ships for his father's beef. So as a result of this, he spent time travelling to Lisbon. He was educated in France, exposed, I suppose, to the ideals of liberty and fraternity in France. Remember, in Ireland, it was at the time he was born into an Ireland where it was forbidden to practice your religion. The penal laws were in force. So eventually he made his way over to America.
Right. OK. And when he reached America, having inculcated all those ideas from France, presumably he took up with the revolutionary movement there.
He did. He joined the Continental Army in 1775. And within a few years, he was appointed the Muster Master General. And his brother also, he had a brother, John, who was involved in securing uniforms for the Continental Army. He was known as the Clothier General. So we have three Moylan brothers actually going over. But Stephen is perhaps the more famous of the three. Because of his interest in the shipping industry and the experience he had in Cork on Curragh's Quay, it left him suitably qualified to engage with the Continental Navy also. He became friends in 1776, we're told, with George Washington, rising up the ranks to become the Quartermaster General for the Continental Army, as well as becoming aide-de-camp and very, very close confidant of George Washington. George Washington held him and his brothers in high esteem. They were actually known as the Three Polite Irishmen, would you believe?
Now, at some point, presumably, while the Revolutionary War was going on in the United States, people started to consider what the country would look like and what it would be called after it achieved independence. Was there some debate about that?
Exactly. So the Continental Army, I suppose, largely refers to those 13 British colonies that wanted to break away from Britain and join and become what we know today as the United States of America. So there's some debate regarding the name. Some people were referring to the 13 colonies when they would break away as the United Colonies, but it didn't really have a proper ring to it. So we're not quite sure who coined the phrase, but I can just imagine Stephen being around a table with George Washington, throwing out ideas, going, will we go United Colonies, yes or no? But what we do know is that the earliest written evidence that they have in America is a document and a letter that was written by Stephen Moylan, where he does refer to what would be the 13 colonies as joining with the United States of America, and that is generally regarded and recognised as his historical contribution. They can't seem to find anything older than this letter that Stephen wrote on the 2nd of January 1776, which was just more than 6 months before the actual Declaration of Independence.
Oh, and who had the letter been sent to?
So Stephen wrote a letter to Colonel Joseph Reed. And what he was trying to do, I suppose, is the early years, you know, like every other fledgling country, it tries to get support from abroad. And the 13 colonies at the time of the Continental Army were getting quite a lot of support from Spain, from the Kingdom of France, from the Dutch Republic at the time. So Stephen suggested in his letter to Colonel Reed that he would travel to Spain to garner support for the emerging nation, which he actually wrote in that letter as the United States of America. And that letter is in New York, in the New York Public Library, in the manuscripts collection of Colonel Joseph Reed.
Oh, my word. And I assume he died in the United States.
He did. He died in the United States in 1811. He remained a lifelong friend of George Washington. The 4th Continental Light Dragoons was the outfit that are known as Moylan's Horse. So there's quite a number of reenactors that do support Moylan and the 4th Continental Light Dragoons. And as I was saying to your researcher earlier, some of them were in Cork at the weekend. So there was a few strange looks at people with bearskin hats in Moylan's red and green uniform walking around City Hall in Cork City and Blarney Street over the weekend.
Yeah. Now, and this plaque has been put up now and he's commemorated. Is it kind of, I know, and obviously people might know this year is the 250th anniversary of the establishment of the United States. So is there a bit of timing going on here in the sense of we want perhaps our boy to get a bit of recognition?
Well, I think what started all of this really initially was the group Irish America 250. They wanted to honour the contribution of Irish men and women to the formation of America in the last 250 years. And I suppose we've got a number of unsung heroes. And in Cork, I would be a historian. I'm a historian. I have done a lot on famine Cork and written books on Cork City. I had not heard of Stephen Moylan. And the reason I hadn't heard of him, he largely existed in the shadow of his brother, who was Bishop Francis Moylan, who helped Nan O'Neagle to set up her presentation order of sisters. And the other brothers who emigrated were largely forgotten about. They were there, people knew, but largely in the shadow of the brother, the bishop. So I was approached by the Irish America group to be their spokesperson, historian. What could I find out about Stephen Moylan at this side of the pond? And from there, the event took legs. Irish America knew that this letter would kickstart their programme of events for the year, since the letter was written on the 2nd of January. 1776. The letter itself is older than the Declaration of Independence. So that raised my curiosity. I went digging, and then, as they say, everything is history. Cork City Council came on board. And then in Villanova, in the middle of January, there was another commemoration to kickstart Irish America's programme of events, but also to highlight Stephen Moylan, because Stephen Moylan is actually very famous in Philadelphia. We've all heard of the Friendly Sons of and Daughters of St. Patrick. Mm. They've got numerous chapters across America. There's hundreds of thousands of people signed up to their organisation, which was actually founded by Stephen Moylan as well in 1771.
Oh my word, that's amazing. Well, hopefully you got a lot more recognition in the United States during the course of this year. Michelle, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Michelle O'Mahony there, a historian based in Cork.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
From Geico Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts. Tonight, you just left for work and had a non-specific feeling that something was happening to your place and it wasn't good. Dan?
Exactly, Tammy. It could be smoke damage, theft, or just too much caffeine, but you can't stop thinking about it.
But with renter's insurance through Geico, your stuff is covered, so you don't have to worry.
And that's great, because the weekend is coming up and it's chock full of social obligations that are ready to fill that void.
Oh boy, will they, Dan? It feels good to worry less. It feels good to Geico.